Today we're going to be talking about prayer. Prayer is so important. But before that, I got to tell you this story. How many of you are techie people in here? One. You know why? All the young ones stay upstairs, that's why. I am so amazed at technology. On Friday, okay, I got to go to Waikele Elementary School and do this program called Junior Achievement. And my daughter goes there to work in the morning, so I ask her during the week, hey, you know, I got to go to the same place as you. How about we go get some coffee before we go to the school? So she says, that sounds great. So, okay, let's leave home at 6:30 so we can go, because I got to be there by 6:45. And you know the traffic. So I'm in the living room already at 6:30. Where's my daughter? She's not here. So I knock on her door, and I open it. She's sleeping. It's like, Kayla, aren't we supposed to go get coffee? She goes, oh, yeah. My alarm didn't go off. So we get up, and we leave. We're already running a little bit late, right? So I'm thinking, oh, I wonder if we're going to have time to have coffee, because I don't want to be late for my appointment. So we get to Starbucks, and so I hate when you open the door and the line is right there. Isn't it like, oh, I gotta wait 20 minutes for my coffee? Not that I like coffee. But so I open the door like any normal person, and I stand in line. Kayla comes right behind me. She goes right to the end of the counter. She picks up two drinks. She goes, here you go, Dad. I'm like, what? How did this happen? How did they know what I wanted to drink and what she wanted to drink? And I think all these guys standing in line, and we just walked through the front. She said, no, Dad, there's an app for this. You just order it ahead of time, and you pay for it through your phone, and you just go to the end and pick it up. I am like, wow, you guys knew that? They had that. It's only the people who drink coffee, right? And I guess if you're a college student, you probably do a lot of that. But I was like, wow. I was like, technology just blew me away. And I was like, wow. Then it made me think, you know, there is no app, there is no advanced technology for prayer. Nothing can replace it. If you hook up a computer to your mind that relay our prayers to God, that wouldn't work. How we connect to God is the same way that they did way back in the New Testament. It's prayer. And if you think about it, there are very few things. I don't think there is actually anything more important to Christian life than prayer. Our method of communication with our Lord and our Creator. And yet, far too few of us understand or have time to study it. I was impressed more than about prayer and how prayer is actually centered on our relationship. It's just like any other relationship. If we don't communicate, relationships will be strained. When I don't communicate with God, my relationship with Him is strained. I need to hear from God more than He needs to hear from me. Amen? I'm going to say that again. I need to hear from God more than He needs to hear from me. So in prayer, not talk sometimes, but sometimes we just got to sit still and listen. You ever try to talk to somebody who's talking? Yeah, I mean, some people, they just talk, and you try to get a word in, nothing. And I believe that modeling is the best way to teach something. You know, if I wrote down an explanation to you how to change a tire on a car, you might get it, But if I actually showed you how to do it, wouldn't that be better? Sometimes that modeling is the best way to teach something. And Jesus modeled prayer for us effectively. He taught his disciples the proper way to pray. And this should serve as a model for us as well. So if you do have your Bibles, you might want to open it up to Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. This is where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on your outline. But I think it would be a really good idea if we read this together. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Ready? Go. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wow. You guys, you know when you guys read that, you guys sound so good. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the practice of prayer. This is really important. He spoke to them what it is and what it's about and how to do it. Why did he do this? Because the Pharisees, they love to perform publicly. And rather making the prayer between them and God, they were doing it to be seen by men. They were praying loud, repetitious prayer on and on and on just to make man look at them and just to make man think, wow, these guys are like super, super holy. They had turned prayer into an act seen by men to demonstrate their supposed righteousness. Their prayers, they were not directed to God, but to other men. It's so sad. So that is why Jesus had to do this. He had to set it straight. Prayer shouldn't be addressed to anyone else. You cannot pray to me. The Bible does not say you pray to me. The Bible says you pray to God in the name of, yes, in the name of Jesus. Because if you said, I pray in the name of Scott, he ain't getting nothing. Zero. Because it's not going to work. My name can't do nothing. Even if you got pulled over by a policeman and said, I know Pastor Scott, he just might give you two tickets. The name of Jesus is the name we pray in. Yes. Jesus presented a model prayer for his disciples to follow. This prayer commonly known, the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually the prayer for the disciples to learn, to follow. The prayer, which is repeated by many Christians, contains elements that are important for all who want to pray and want to learn how to pray. As Christians, we should have an intimacy with God. And we get to call him Father. Isn't that cool? We get to call the guy who made the universe, the guy who created everything. We get to call him Father. That is an amazing thing. How do you pray? Do you pray as if you're speaking to your Father? Or do you pray as if you're speaking to a servant or maybe a master? So here it is. Number one, hallowing God's name. hallowing God's name. Matthew 6:9, then pray in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. So what is that? Hallowed. Hallowed. Worthy of religious veneration. You know, expressing respect. The sacred name of Jesus. When we speak to God, we should realize that we're not talking to a servant or our butler who is supposed to fetch us what we ask for. Instead, we are talking with the Almighty God. And that should fill us with like an wow. Like, oh man, I am talking to the guy who created the world, who did everything. And we should have this reverence, this awe, this respect to hallow his name. How can we hallow God's name? See, when we begin our prayers, we are to begin with worship. And God is addressed as our Father in heaven. Worship is the essence of our prayer. Jesus used the word Father 10 times. And only those who really can call God their Father can address God that way in our worship. The phrase, our Father in heaven, indicates that God is not only majestic and holy, but also personal and loving. The first line of this modeled prayer is a statement of praise and a commitment to hallow or honor God's holy name. And we can honor God's name by being careful to use it respectfully. I mean, there's so many times where I forget to do this. I just drop prayers, bang, bang, here and there. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. With no reverence, no respect, no awe. And I am guilty of this. And when I was studying for this, I was like, man, this is for me. So if you're thinking this is not for you, because maybe I wrote this for me, but I'm just sharing with you. But we cannot use God's name lightly. We need to remember God's holiness. And we need to treat that with the highest respect, reverence, and awe. Amen? Number two, God's kingdom come. Man, how many of you cannot wait for Jesus to come back? Yeah. My wife and I was meeting with an attorney last week. And he was talking to us about setting up a trust so that when we die, that our property and stuff like that doesn't go into probate where it just takes all and long and long and, you know, and he was explaining this. Then he asked us this question at the end. Okay, now if you gotta be kept alive by a machine, what do you want? You want us just to pull the plug? You want us to wait 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, a month in case anybody gotta come in? My response was just pull the plug. They just put a plug because my family knows where I'm going. I know where I'm going. We're all good at that. And you don't need to just keep me plugged in so that the bills rack up. And then when I die, they stuck with the bills. So I just said, just put a plug. And he looks at me. I mean, I do want his kingdom to come. And I'm looking forward to the day when God's kingdom is established. But that means the enemies of God, those who haven't heard of him yet, they're going to be in some serious trouble. And although we want God's kingdom to come like now, we need to think about the unsaved people. I mean, yeah, I want selfishly, yeah, come now. We all went boom, right there, heaven. But what about those who are not saved? And over the years, you gotta, as you mature in Christ, you change your mind from, well, I think you better wait a little while, Lord, because there is like one more person to save, one more neighbor to reach, one more co-worker, one more relative, one more brother, sister, father, mother to reach for the Lord. Our work is not done. But God's kingdom come. Do we pray as though we really want to see God's kingdom come? Yes, I do. I really do want to see God's kingdom come. Because I see how, you notice the world is getting worse and worse and more, but and we want it to come better, but the Bible says it's going to get bad. That's God's will. It's going to be like that. Then, number three, God's will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is perhaps the key to prayer. We would not pray against God's will. If we do, then God won't respond. Because he is not going to respond to things against his nature. If we ask for God's will to be done, he has no reason not to work according to his will. At the same time, we should probably pray for wisdom in discerning what God's will is so that we recognize when our prayers have been answered. When we pray, may your will be done. We are not resigning to our, we're not resigning ourselves to fate, but praying that God's perfect purpose will be accomplished in this world. How does God accomplish his will on earth? He does it largely through people who are willing to obey him. This part of prayer allows us to offer ourselves as doers of God's will, asking him to guide, to lead, to give us the means to accomplish his purpose, his will for our lives, his will on earth. Here's something to ask yourself. Are you willing to accept God's will, even if it's not ours? How many times you thought this was the right thing to do and God said, that's not my will, you need to do this? You know, are we willing to accept God's will for our lives, even if it's not our own? Because sometimes we tend to go off in a different direction and God needs to gently bring us back. And we need to do his will. I know when I was in the world, it was not God's will, it was my will. And my will was so opposite of God's will. And it took years to correct me. He had to gently and lovingly change my direction. He was going that way, I was going that way. And he finally started to slowly change it. And it goes like this. Once in a while, I go like this, and then bang, and come back in. Go like, bang, come back in. So I can be in his will. And when we, like I said last week, when we have that relationship with God and we pray, we're going to know what his will is. Number four, give us daily bread. Not monthly, weekly, yearly. Give us daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We should ask God to provide for our needs. When we have to go to God each day, we develop a dependence on him and realize that without God, we can do nothing. Or if we do something, it doesn't really matter. We need to ask God to provide for our needs, not our wants, but our needs. I think a big part of getting Our daily bread is doing our daily devotions so that we will be equipped each day. Daily devotions is like eating your breakfast before going into the world. It gives you the energy you need to do what you need to do. Do we trust God enough for our daily bread? Or do we rely on stuff that we fed on later on just to like feed on our reserves? Do we rely on getting fed His word only on Sundays? Only on Wednesdays? Only once a week? And if you're spiritually eating once a week, how healthy can you be? If you ate once a day, how healthy can you be? Not very. But if you eat your regular meals every day, your daily bread, if you read His word every day, that is your daily bread. May not seem like much, yeah? It may not seem like much, a scripture here, a scripture there. But if you do that every day, over a period of years, man, you'll look back. You will not think it's a lot, but it is our daily bread. And the thing is, we read it, we meditate on it, put it into our hearts. It's there. It's there for us forever. Number five, forgive our debts. And forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. This is a two-way street, if you notice. If we want to be forgiven, we need to be willing to forgive as well. If we sow forgiveness, we will reap forgiveness. And it's very important. You've heard it said, forgiveness is not for them, but it's for you. I hate when you forgive somebody and they don't forgive somebody else. I had an illustration of this. You know, when I'm stuck in traffic, I let somebody in, and they come in, and they go right up to the car in the front. And when it's their turn to let somebody in, they just hug that car in the front, and they don't let them in. Then I get mad. I say, "Bro, I just want to let you in. You couldn't return the favor." You ever happened to you? Or it's only me? Only I got to learn the lesson, yeah? It's always, you know, I always got to go first in learning things. But it's like that servant who went to this master. He owed millions of dollars, and he said, "Forgive me." And the master forgave his debt. And then he went out, his fellow brother, and he only owed him a couple bucks, and he went choke him in jail because the guy never paid him. He never, you know, he was forgiven so much, but he couldn't forgive. We need to forgive others as we are forgiven. Amen? When we go to God, have we forgiven those we need to forgive before we ask God to forgive us? Number six, keep us from temptation. Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The best way to keep from sinning is to stay out of situations where we are likely to sin. If you are an alcoholic, don't go to the bar and say, "I'm going to do ministry." That's just not the right thing to do. Avoid compromising situations. It's a lot easier than attempting to refrain from sin when you are in the middle of a difficult situation. You might want to remember this verse, and I don't think it's on your outline, but it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And listen to what it says. "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." How often do we barge into places we shouldn't be, then ask God to protect us instead of asking God to keep us safely away from those places. The seventh one, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Underline forever. When we pray, we should recognize that the one who we just asked to do these things is fully capable of answering and providing. God, whom we have this personal relationship, is the same God who is over everything and is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. The wonderful truth is not that Jesus is going to be king, but that he is king now. For yours is the kingdom. Not yours will be the kingdom, but yours is the kingdom now. When we pray, yours is the kingdom, we acknowledge the fact that this present day, right here, right now, that Jesus is king. Amen? When we pray, yours is the kingdom, we are also acknowledging that we are subjects of the king. We are freely acknowledging his right to lordship in our lives. Isn't that awesome? You when you pray this prayer, you are acknowledging that. When we talk about the power to know and trust God, the source of our strength, he is a source of the power. Yours is the kingdom and his is the power. We acknowledge that. That he is the one, the Almighty. Sometimes we look at this portion of prayer and we call it a doxology. Literally means speaking glory or a word of glory. The word comes from two Greek words, doxa. Doxa, which means praise and glory, and logos, which means the word or speak. So doxology is an expression of praise to God, a confession of adoration. Doxologies of praise are found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I want to read you one that I found in 1 Chronicles 29:11. You might want to write that down. I don't think it's in your bulletin. Yours, O Lord, is greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. You know, do we give God the praise for listening to our prayers and answering them? Do we pray with the knowledge that the Creator of the universe hears our prayers and will answer them according to his will? This, my family, this is the order that we are taught to pray. Jesus taught us to hallow God's name, to respect, to be reverent, to in awe, that his kingdom would come and that his will would be done and on earth as it is in heaven. His will in heaven is done perfectly, and we want his will to be done the same way on earth. Give us today our daily bread. Meaning we come to God and say, God, give me what I need. Give me the patience I need to endure today. Give me the scriptures I need that I may know what to do in situations. Give me today my daily bread. And forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who had sinned against me. Keep me from temptation. Man, you know my office right now, I got like 5 boxes of cookies in there. I think I need to remove that. You know, talking about putting yourself in a situation. And if those box, you know, we just didn't want to put them in the container because it gets too hot. And, you know, if I say, Lord, keep me from temptation, but those cookies are in my office, that's exactly what we're talking about. Get it. I need to get it out of there. Put it in somebody else's house. Any volunteers? Hey, yeah, right. You know, those guys, thank you so much because you're saving me. And then finally, acknowledge that He is King today, right now. King, ruler, Lord of your life. And He is all powerful. Can I hear an amen to that?